Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've got a few more of your characters on Facebook, which I like. I forgot about this one. Anthony wants Final Four pizza toppings. That would be delicious. Final Four toilet paper brand, absolutely not. Final Four sports anchors or sports radio hosts. The thing is, that feels self-serving. I can't put that out there because then you might think I expect you to include me. But you know what else inevitably happens? People do the opposite. They tell you all the ones they hate. Every single time we talk about a big championship, like a Super Bowl, well, he's not on Fox anymore, but like when the Super Bowls were on Fox with Joe Buck or when he does baseball games, again, he's not on Fox anymore, but when he did, I mean, the vitriol that he gets, I can't stand that. I do not criticize other hosts. I don't listen to a lot of other hosts, but I don't criticize hosts or play-by-play announcers or analysts publicly. I would never do that. It's unprofessional. It's poor form. And it's just tacky. And so I don't know. A lot of people do that. They'll do brackets of radio hosts or I don't know. It's not really my thing. So you guys can do that on your own.
Can get nasty quick.
You don't need me for that. How about this? David says Final Four movies, which that's such a broad category. It's kind of like TV shows. If you do Final Four movies or TV shows, there's going to be a bunch of those in that I've never even heard of before. Like, for instance, Warriors. From last week. Well, it was from the 70s, but from
Warriors.
I do love famous duos, so let's include famous duos without a doubt. All right. I know Amy and Bob are not a famous duo, but want to hear something super cool? In exactly 1 month, we will be in Hawaii for our honeymoon. We will have just landed in Hawaii, actually, a few hours before this. With the time change and all. Cannot wait. We've actually secured our ride to the airport, which is always a big deal in the New York City area. A friend is going to take us. We're going to, they like my baking, he and his wife. So we'll give them some baked goods, but also take them out to dinner. And he's agreed to drive us to the airport.
Very nice.
What? Okay. So we are inside of a month.
You don't understand the strength that your baked goods have as currency. They're strong. It's a strong value.
Funny. So I guess we could go Final Four pies, but ice cream flavors might be better. So yeah, we've got 1 month to Hawaii and so much to do. I've mentioned I haven't started my taxes yet. Problem is, if I don't get them done before March Madness, I generally wait till the last second. And yeah, basketball takes over. So having March Madness and a husband and prepping for a Syracuse class and running a half marathon. Right. And a house that still needs to be put together. I have definitely fallen off the pace when it comes to my taxes, but I don't think they'll be real complicated. So next couple of nights, no basketball, which means I will be watching baseball while I'm doing my taxes. Oh my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Keep those Final Four categories coming. Jay did put up a post on our Facebook page. Yes. Did you put a post up on Twitter too? Okay, just Facebook. Gotcha. We'll just do Facebook. On Twitter, you can just send them to our show account, After Hours CBS, or to me, A Law Radio. Okay, so let's do a couple of calls, and then I'll get into more of the half marathon story, which I think you will like. Jim has been waiting in Chicago. Jim, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. This
You're
is
welcome.
My first call ever to a radio show.
Boom!
So, I just felt like I had to call. Like, when I hear things, and I'm a big college basketball, you know, fan forever. I graduated from a Big Ten school, and my favorite sport was basketball, so I still keep up with it all.
Nice.
And I have a terrible understanding of when people say that UConn is an overwhelming favorite from a different bracket than Purdue, for example. And when I say that, why I'm saying it is because I look at the statistics, I look at the main parts of the game, and I look at Zach Edey, much better center, I mean, than what UConn has, than a Klinger. They got a much better point guard in Braden Smith, who's one of the best point guards, I think, in NCAA after his improvement from last year. Mm-hmm. Then you look at their three-point shooting. Statistically, they're also better than UConn in three-point shooting. So when you look at everything, the only reason why people pick UConn is because of their coach. But their coach is not going to play on the court. He'll have an impact, but not as much impact as someone like Zach or someone like that. And when it comes to Zach, and I'll just say one more thing about that. I believe that Caitlin deserves all the credit she deserves because I love watching her play too. But when I watch Zach play, and I listen to the announcers before every game even, and they got it right too, he's a once-in-a-generation player. The mm-hmm. reason why it takes three guys to play him every game because they all foul out is because they can't compete against him. I mm-hmm. watch him play, and I didn't even graduate from Purdue, so don't think that's my school. But I'm just saying, I watch people try to cover him. They have to push off on him. They have to push off with two hands. They foul him constantly because they're not good enough to play against him. I mean, he's played against three or four, five, seven-footers that I can name right now from Idaho State, from Wisconsin to Arizona State. It doesn't matter the height. The guy's got more talent. He's an NBA center. He's head and shoulders above, well, literally, above anybody he plays against.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at him, look at the scratches this guy's got even on his arms, how many times he's fouled. I watched the last game. I'm like, man, he's got red scratches. He's got scars all over his hands, his arms, because he's constantly getting hit, scratched, pawed at.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty standard. That happened to me in basketball, too. That's pretty common.
Right, but what I'm saying is that, you know, when you talk and you hear Zach talk after a game, nothing about himself ever. The team. I'm playing hard because one thing I really admired, he says, is I came to Purdue because I want to make Purdue better than when I got here. When I leave, I want to make it a better school, a better team. And it's all about his players that he plays with. He mm-hmm. never says, hey, I just put up 40, look at me. I mean, he put up 40 the last game they won, and he always does a double-double by halftime. But, I mean, a lot of times he'll have double-doubles and only play half the game because they're winning by 30. His stats would be much better. Yesterday, or the last game they won, he had 40, and he had a terrible free throw shooting game.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't hitting threes for some reason. But they went into him. That's why they won the game. But he's always there in any capacity they need.
Okay. Well, you make a great case for Purdue, which is why the Boilermakers are a one seed, which is why they have survived to this point. You were right about Zach Edey. It definitely takes more than one guy to rotate in, because not only is he big and tall, but he is strong, and he does have some good footwork. Obviously, a great rebounder. I don't love his touch as much as I love what I saw from DJ Burns. So I love the soft hands and the back to the basket moves from DJ a little bit more. The thing is about UConn, and fair or not, I'm not sure I've heard that it's the coaching thing. And Matt Painter's been around a long time. He's a great coach, very well respected. But one of the things that, you know, you've heard about UConn, or that I've noticed about UConn, is there are very few blips on their radar, right? They didn't lose to a 16 seed last year. And I know that was last year. I'm just telling you, Purdue has looked vulnerable. They didn't win the Big Ten championship. UConn has done the same thing as Purdue in beating opponents by 30-plus points so far in this tournament. And so there's a lot of reasons that UConn because of the way they're handling their business right now, because they have the experience of having run through the tournament last year and winning and getting everyone's best shot this season and still coming out unscathed.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for the fact that they are battle tested. And I'm not saying Purdue isn't, but on this stage, you could certainly give the edge in that arena to UConn.
Well, if you look at even the even going all the way back to the Maui tournament, look at the teams Purdue had to beat to win that tournament early in the season.
Yep.
And then the Big Ten tournament, I think they should have won that game against Wisconsin that they lost. That was a fluke. But anyway, that's another thing. But they still, the team that won the Big Ten tournament was Illinois, and Purdue beat them twice in a regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the teams that they're beating are quality teams. They beat Alabama. They're in the Final Four. I mean, they beat, Gonzaga twice this year. They beat Tennessee twice this year. The teams that they can only play who's on their schedule. And the teams that, you know, if they didn't lose to Ohio State, they would have been number one ranked in the country the whole season long. That's the only time they dropped from the number one ranking and couldn't get back. They went down to three. But they would have been above Houston and UConn all season long as the number one team in the country from first game to the last game. The only game that knocked them out of that was Ohio State loss. And that was that was a huge upset. Hmm. They should have definitely beat Ohio State. I agree. But like Zach Edey has said, I mean, all they do is win, and I think they just need to get that.
Well, the things that you're saying, Jim, could also apply to UConn. I'm not sure why you're so upset about it. They're both one seeds, right? The reason that the Huskies got the nod as the number one overall seed is because they didn't lose in their conference championship, and they've got an incredible conference slate as well. All the things you're talking about with their non-conference, same thing applies to UConn, and the teams that you're talking about. Purdue beat, so did UConn. So I'm not sure why you're upset about it. I had said earlier on the show, hold on, that Purdue does have the edge at center because Donovan Klingon, while he's skilled and he's certainly long and lanky, he doesn't have the bulk to be able to compete with a Zach Edey. He's not the same player. But, I mean, they're both one seeds and they're both in the Final Four. And also, we shouldn't assume they're going to play each other because that's not necessarily how it works out. This is going to be amazing. They're two really incredible teams, and they're both still alive.
Well, one thing I had to say, like I said in the beginning of my call, is the only thing I get, like, you know, a little bit upset with is when I hear people say they're the overwhelming favorite to win the national championship, or they got it made. I mean, I hear too much of that, and I'm like, where do people get that from? I mean, where is that from? The statistics don't show it. The play on the court doesn't show it, and they've never played each other head-to-head.
Well, I disagree with you about the play on the court. I do disagree with you about that. And also, as I said, their experience. They ran the table last year and beat everybody on their schedule by about 20 points in the tournament. And they're the defending champions, which means they can't hide. They're getting everybody's best shot. Purdue was an upset. They lost to a 16 last year. There's a reason why UConn is a favorite, because they haven't done that, Jim.
Well, I guess if you agree to this, I've only called once in my lifetime. I'll call you guys back after I believe Purdue beats UConn in the final game.
All right. Well, I would look forward to that. I mean, that's why they play. It absolutely could happen. I'm not telling you it can't. But at this point, there's a reason why UConn is a favorite.
Well, I just want Purdue to get the respect I think they deserve.
Think Purdue's got plenty of it. We talk about Purdue a ton, and I'm just referring to my show. But they're a one seed. It's not like they're a five seed.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, though, this isn't last year's team. You got a point guard that's one of the top in the country. He made a huge jump from last year.
Mm-hmm.
You got an addition of Lance Jones, the fifth-year senior from Southern Illinois University, who's a high-energy player mm-hmm. that they didn't have last year when they went out in the first round. And then you got the experience just of the team. It's the same exact team coming back, 1 year more experience.
Well, again, you could say the same thing about UConn. That's the point.
Right, exactly.
That's the point, Jim.
That's why I think they're both equal. That's why I think I don't think one team could be said they're better than the other. That's why I'm saying this.
They're not equal because of the experience factor for UConn. They're not equal. But I do agree with you that on paper, that's one thing. On the court is something different.
Well, we'll see. That's why they play the game. So I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, Jim. Enjoy the Final Four next weekend. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Sean, who's in Maryland. Sean, welcome to After Hours.
Hello. I haven't talked to you in a while. I think he forgot who he's talking to. I mean, you played the game.
Well, I mean, he's allowed to have his opinion. He watches the game, too, so I get it. The one thing about Zach Edey that could hurt is if he gets into foul trouble. Without Zach Edey, they're not the same team. And I do think UConn is deeper. It's a little deeper. But that's just, again, opinion on paper, having watched them play. Everyone can throw out their opinion at this point.
Oh, definitely. But I think everybody keeps forgetting that Edey, he's only been playing since he was a junior in high school. This kid is still learning.
He is.
Hopefully when he gets to the next level, he'll be able to get even better. But, like, right now, like, some others have been saying, like, the center for UConn.
Donovan, yeah.
He can move. He's more athletic. He can get up and down the court quicker than Edey. So they're thinking that maybe that's what's going to happen, is they might run him down.
Yeah, UConn definitely likes to push tempo. I mean, they will use their athleticism and their speed to push tempo.
Yeah, and then when it comes to the women's side, I think, you know, they're talking about how she's transcending and everything. She is. She's taking it to the next level.
Caitlin, are you referring to Caitlin?
Yes, Caitlin. But everybody's forgetting that we had Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Vicky Bullitt. We had some great ones back in the 80s and early 90s who got everyone interested in the women's game. So I just wanted to put that out there because I work out with Vicky Bullitt, and she's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's not that no one's ever paid attention to the women's basketball game. I mean, when UConn, the Rebecca Lobo, the Jennifer Rosati, the UConn teams that first burst on the scene and went undefeated and won the national championship, those teams, they also increased the profile. Pat Summitt's teams with Shamiqua Holdsclaw, and then Caitlin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about incredible athletes and coaches and Hall of Famers all along the way.
Definitely.
The difference is right now you're getting the record viewership because the media attention has increased more for women's college basketball. Fair or unfair, you can be out in the middle of the woods and play the best game ever, but if nobody sees it, and nobody is strong, obviously, but if you've got a limited audience, then it makes a much bigger difference. So now you're getting these games on national TV, and networks can't really afford to leave them, right? Because people want to see Caitlin Clark selling out games. Yeah. That's also a huge difference where it's not just a handful of schools that sell out. Now it's across the board you're seeing teams attract audiences that they've never seen before.
So, Nat, she's been going a while. And Pat Summitt is heads above everybody, in my opinion, as I should say, a lady coach. She was heads above everybody else. PJ was her only PJ. But who do you think could be the next Pat Summitt?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think there could ever be another Pat Summitt. But I will say, as much as I love Pat Summitt, I don't think she has an equal. There are some incredible coaches out there. When I think about it, I think toughness, I think about the coaches that could go back and forth between either women or men. And I wouldn't be surprised if Becky Hammon, I mean, she's coaching in the WNBA now, but I wouldn't be surprised if she makes a jump at some point and coaches in the NBA. She's got that same type of toughness and that same respect that Pat Summitt did, though she's much earlier in her career. Pat was an icon, is an icon, a legend. She's the reason that I started to love basketball is because of her. Love women's basketball because of Pat.
Oh, definitely. She's a huge, huge impact on all sports, in my opinion.
For Tennessee, for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy your trip.
Well, it's a month away, so I can't enjoy it yet.
Well, it might take me that long just to get back through the phone line.
Well, I appreciate your persistence. Thank you, Sean.
All right, you have a good one.
855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. I say things and I don't get to them, but that's okay. I like it when people feel like they have a forum to be able to air their opinions and their grievances. So that is great. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Definitely love the buzz around women's basketball right now. And it's good for the entire game, not just women, right? It's good for the men's side too, to raise the profile for college sports and college athletes. And then also on our Facebook page, if you want to send your final four, people are already sending their answers. No. You got to wait. We're not collecting answers yet. We're just looking for the final four categories that we will use starting tomorrow, actually. So this time tomorrow, we'll have our first of the final four categories. I suppose it's not imperative that we name them all now on this show. Should we start with ice cream flavors? Should we? Because not last year, sorry, 2020, we started with breakfast foods and it went viral. It was awesome because who doesn't love breakfast foods?
Food's a good start.
By the way, I had leftover Easter ham for breakfast with my eggs yesterday. Yeah, it was so good. All right. Again, Twitter, Facebook, send us your final four categories. We got the phone number. By the back of the hour, I want you to hear a little more from the stars on the women's stage that really shone brightly on Monday and gave us such a great show, such great drama in both of the regional finals from Albany and Portland. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 0-2 pitch. Andrew Westberg drives it right field. It's hit well. Back goes Renfro at the track. Jumping up. It is out of here. This ball game is over. Jordan Westberg, an opposite field, two-run shot. Anderson serves it up, and the first home run for Westberg in 2024. It is a game winner.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, trying to mix in a little bit of the Major League Baseball. Had a no-hitter on Monday night, of course, because it can't possibly wait until Tuesday. Ronel Blanco, 8th career start for the Houston Astros. 105 pitches, and he tosses a no-no. How about that? Despite the jinxes in the dugout, according to Jeremy Pena. So congratulations to Ronel, who just became a girl dad, too. That's kind of cool. And then the walk-off for the Baltimore Orioles. Jordan Westberg, he was expecting a fastball, in case you hadn't figured that part out, on the Orioles radio network. The atmosphere in Baltimore already is pretty sweet this game against the Royals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls. I'm trying to write my CBS Sports Minute and just thinking, you know what? I don't need to make it too complicated. Just take what's right in front of you. And what's right in front of me is more of Iowa and LSU and the highlights and the excitement, the buzz. It was definitely a battle worthy of the stage with the Final Four on the line. So we'll hear from Caitlin Clark as well as Angel Reese. And then in the late regional final, Paige Beckers, man, she is a role model just by virtue of how she speaks of her journey is pretty incredible. And then the advice she gives to Juju Watkins, the terrific freshman for USC, although I guess now just wrapping up her freshman season for the Trojans. So I want you to hear from the stars on the stage Monday night, because they have a lot of really neat things to say about the women's basketball tournament, as well as what it's like to play now and why it's so emotional for them too, which I completely get. And the Final Four starts for the women on Friday in Cleveland. But people are asking me, and I promised you just a little bit of a review of my half marathon, my eighth half marathon. Wowzers. I still remember going back to 2016, the spring of 16, when I ran my first one. And it was an awesome experience, but I never thought I'd do it again. In fact, there were times over the course of that first half marathon, and this actually happens in every single one of the halves I run, there's a moment or two or three or four moments where I ask myself, why the hell am I doing this? Why? But it's a good way for me to stay in shape, number one. Number two, it's always going to test me. 13.1 miles is never going to be easy. No matter how much I train, I'm just not ever going to be fast. I, of course, had people passing me on my third lap, their fourth lap, they're done. I mean, that's not why I do it. I do it because it is a goal that challenges me, and it will never be easy. And have to fight through multiple mental and physical walls to get through the 13.1 miles. But a couple of things that were unique about this one. First of all, it's the coldest half marathon I've ever done, including the one I did in the tropical storm in September last year when the temps were in the 50s and I was soaked. But this was a different type of cold. Now, it was sunny, which was amazing in Queens, right in the shadow of Citi Field, and Arthur Ashe Stadium is where I ran in this huge park that they have there. So it's relatively flat, though we did have to go up and over the highway 8 times. So 4 loops, you have to go up and over the highway to go out and do the one of the big loops and then come back up and over the highway. So that was challenging, especially when you're getting into mile 10 and you have to go up this very steep ramp and then do it again a couple minutes later. So anyway, the park is really neat. There's people all around. There's vendors. There's cricket. Believe it or not, there's a lake with boats. There are plenty of kids playing soccer and baseball. And then there's this giant Oculus that comes from, I think it was a World's Fair in the 1970s. But there's a lot to look at. And the route itself, while it wasn't boring, I wouldn't say, you know, you kind of knew what to expect because you had to do it 4 times. Anyway, so the difference is that the weather, despite the sunshine, was cold. I've never run with as many layers as I did on Saturday. The temperature at start was 40 degrees. The wind chills made it in the mid-30s. So I almost ran with 2 pairs of pants, but I ultimately decided that would be too much. And also, I wouldn't be able to stop and take them off. I refused to stop and take them off. I would have had to run all the way with them, so I went without. But yeah, I was wearing a heavy fleece on top. It was a running fleece, but it's still really thick just to keep me warm. I wore first time I've ever worn a winter hat an entire half marathon, Jay. I was wearing a wool hat and gloves to start, actually, but the hat stayed on my head the entire time to keep the warmth in. So that was unique. It was definitely the coldest half marathon I've ever run, but it was sunny and you weren't in the wind the whole time, but on each loop. So you would do multiple loops for each one of the 4 times that you went through the whole course. And during stretches going both out and back, you were, because of where you were facing, you were running directly into the wind. And it was a wind that was gusting up to about 25 miles an hour. So at times you felt like you were running in place, or I did. Maybe nobody else did, but
that
there are times.
No joke on the water there.
Yeah, right. Just off of the Long Island Sound where you feel like you're running and you're going nowhere. So that was something else. You're going to laugh at this though. I get started. I get across the start line and I pull out my headphones. So I like to start the race without music just to kind of see what's happening around me and to hear what they're saying. So I finally, I don't know, maybe 100 yards across the start line, I pull out my headphones. They were tucked inside my fleece. And I put them on, or I go to put them on, and I realize the little rubber or foam earpiece of the left one has fallen out. And so I just have the little stick that kind of sticks into your ear. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? So I think maybe on my way back through, because I had to go past that start-finish line four times, maybe on my way back through, I'll just look, because it was a bright neon blue. See if I can find it. I ultimately forgot. I wasn't going to stop anyway. Well, get this. I get done with the race, and I'm going to put things in my pockets, right? And I realize it's tucked in my pocket the whole time. But here's the funny part. I could feel it in the pocket, and I'm sticking my hand in my pocket. Where is it? I can't get it. Is it, like, wrapped up in the folds of my fleece? Now I empty out the whole pocket. It's not in there. What is going on? I can feel it. How would it have gotten, like, embedded? There was an inner pocket. So when I had the headphones like dangling on the inside of my fleece, it had gotten into the inner pocket.
Stop it.
Yeah, no joke. I'm actually wearing it on my earpiece right now. So I was able to fish it out of the inner pocket and put it back on the earpiece. But I ran 13 miles thinking, oh, this is annoying. And I was running with it the whole time. But here's the thing. Could you imagine if I had felt it and then couldn't get it out of my pocket and had no idea where it was? Like, I would have been so frustrated.
It would bother you the whole entire run.
Yes, it would have bothered me. So
grabbing at it.
Because I was wearing a hat over my hair down, I it was fine. I didn't lose the earpiece. Mm. By the way, I do not wear earbuds or ear pods. Is that what they're called? I don't wear wireless because my hair rips them out every time. I'll talk on the phone. All of a sudden, I move my head and the air bud goes flying. So I wear only corded ones because that way I won't drop them. So anyway, they don't stay in my ears. So yeah, that was kind of funny is the whole time I was running with just like the little point, the little end with the speaker.
Did it hurt?
The metal piece. No, because it wasn't real big. It was just tiny.
Uh-huh.
But I was running with that just kind of stuffed into my ear. And the entire 13 miles, I was carrying the foam earpiece in my pocket.
The internal pocket.
Yeah. So this was really cool. For the first time ever, I had someone at the start line and the finish line. So the Hubs was there taking photos and cheering when I ran. He actually has a video when I ran across the finish line. And here's something else that's really neat. They had a YouTube link where you could watch the start finish line live. So I managed to text last mile to my family group text. My mom and her husband get on the YouTube channel and mom watches me cross the finish line. And then she texted, I fist pumped.
Like
I was running the Olympics or something. Anyway, she was very proud of me. And so it was good. I'm still sore. I'm still walking funny. So it's now, I guess, not quite 72 hours later, but still walking a little funny. And then this is, I'm really proud of. I'll put some pictures up. I haven't shared any pictures yet. But I'm really proud of the fact that it was my best time in 6 years. I'm old now. And I'm an old married lady. And it was my best time in 6 years. So the last fall, probably would have been a good time because it was a nice flat course, but it was torrential downpours and the winds were 60 miles an hour. So that kind of put the kibosh on that. Yes. And last spring, I didn't ever fully train. Don't ask me why. I was off hiking the Grand Canyon instead. And so the year before, I was just coming out of like 3 years of not having run one, right? And so just a lot of different circumstances. I had knee pain the year before. For the first time in 6 years, I think going back to 18, because I didn't run in 20 years. Or did I run in 21? I don't think I ran in 20 or 21. So that kind of takes 2 years out of it. But yeah, my best time, I was at 222. I was really happy. And at no point did I ever feel like walking. At no point did I think I'm not going to do this. I mean, I thought, why am I doing this? And why I'm never doing this again. But I didn't have any issues other than just, you know, having to fight through those walls. So I was really proud. 222. I think I was the fourth to the last person to finish. There were only there, so they had a 5K and a 10K, and those people were blazing, right? They were only going one and two laps. The third and fourth laps, people were kind of stretched out. And then it was a park, like a big park, so you didn't really know where other runners were. But I passed a couple at the end just because they were in pain. And so I tried to encourage them. You got this. One girl was like, she was significantly younger than me. So I passed her and I said, you got this. It's okay. We're almost done. She goes, but I'm in pain. I said, it's only 3 more miles of pain.
You're more than halfway there. Come on.
Oh yeah. At that point, we were down to just 3 miles. So yeah, it was fun. Fun is a relative term. The best fun was afterwards, going to the local diner. I had a balsamic chicken wrap. I know, super healthy, too healthy. Sweet potato fries, and a chocolate layer cake with a ton of whipped cream. And the Hubs, because he biked for a while, had a cannoli cheesecake. It's the largest piece of cheesecake I've ever seen in my life. It was twice the size of my chocolate layer cake. Anyway, it was delicious. It was cannoli cheesecake with a cannoli on top.
Wow.
The local diner.
That's the way to do it. After.
They invented these things. Yeah, so it was awesome. It was a good day, good experience. I am still sore, but I'm already thinking about running another one in the fall. Why?
I can tell by your last training day that you were going to crush this one. So remember I said that?
You did say that. Thank you for the confidence
in me.
Because
you were like, the last training run, you were like, oh, yes. I just did 2 hours plus, like straight through. Like you, I was like, all right, you got this.
It was a good run. I kind of caught the bug.
I
think I did. Yeah. Top 4 Star Wars characters. Except, I really love you, Al. It's supposed to be final 4 Star Wars characters. Do we have enough Star Wars characters to go final 4?
Yeah, I'd say.
Tom wants to go, how about... And he says top 4 as well. What is wrong with you people? It's the final 4. How about final 4 sitcoms? So instead of TV shows, we go sitcoms.
I think TV shows.
There aren't any
like,
good sitcoms lately.
No, not lately, no.
Although people like Ghosts. I've never seen
ghosts?
It, but on CBS.
There's more than one ghost?
Yeah, it's like a household of ghosts. Ghosts.
Are they funny? What do they do?
I've never seen it, but I hear it's popular on CBS. On CBS, Jay.
Oh, all right.
On CBS. Yay.
Go check it out.
On Twitter.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A-Law Radio and our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Clark out in open space, enters the front court, behind the back dribble. Floors Van Lith and lays it in. Oh, that was nasty. 41-all here in Albany. Inbounds goes to Martin to... Clark, step back straightaway three. Again, Caitlin Clark, unconscious. 31 points, 7 threes. It's 61-52 Iowa. As we approach 5 minutes, step back right wing three. You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark grabs her chest, looks to the crowd, matches a career high with 9 threes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lance Meadow with the calls on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. All along, as much as Caitlin Clark has had a season for the ages that's completely rewritten the record books when it comes to college basketball scoring. Can add a few more to the list after Monday night. What she's always been about is reaching the Final Four again before she departs school because her career is nearly over. That's what she said. My college career is nearly over. Trying to soak it in, wanting another shot at the NCAA title. And now Iowa heads back to the Final Four after Caitlin Clark is the most outstanding player of that Albany region. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This was a track meet between Iowa and LSU. It was entertaining as heck. It was electric. Yeah, the arena there in Albany was primarily Iowa fans, and they were loud. Caitlin played all 40 minutes of this one, and actually, I do believe that conditioning had a major part in the outcome, where Iowa was able to pull away in the third quarter, where Caitlin still had some fresh legs, where they were able to hit more of their threes. Now, a lot of them were her, but they were continuing to run up and down the court. And even though they had, they gave up a lot of rebounds to LSU. LSU had a decided edge on the boards, in large part due to Angel Reese. Ultimately, it looked like, other than Flau J. Johnson, the Tigers, they seemed to wear down a bit. And there were times where there were long stretches and they were huffing and puffing, whereas Iowa was able to get up and down the court. And certainly Caitlin's in incredible shape, so that was not an issue for her. She played all 40 minutes. 41 points, a dozen assists. Some of them were even prettier than the logo threes. 7 rebounds, 2 steals. She did have 5 turnovers. There were times where she made poor decisions, but she stays aggressive, so that tends to happen. Think Golden State Warriors. The third ever Final Four for Iowa, never won the championship in women's basketball. And that third quarter was really the turning point. Even though LSU clawed back into it, she had a dozen points in that third. So here are a couple of the records. 3,900 career points now. So she's passed Pearl Moore for the all-school record, meaning Division I, II, III, AIWA, doesn't matter. No one has ever scored more points in a college basketball career than Caitlin Clark. At any level, men or women. 3,900 career points. She's had the most points in a season, now sitting at 1,183 points in a single season, 540 career triples. That's the most ever. Iowa started fast, kind of waned a little bit with some turnovers, and Angel Reese had a stretch where she got every rebound and had putbacks. She was amazing. She rolled her ankle and then had to play through some pain, but the game stayed fast. It stayed a track meet, so that's why the conditioning was a big deal. And yeah, Angel Reese, emotional at the end, obviously for a lot of reasons, just the release of everything she's poured into this and a season that's had a lot of adversity for them. And so she actually admitted, even though she's proud of her team and happy for women's basketball, that she really hasn't been that happy since they won the title last year.
I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am. Hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, you know, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
So Angel Reese, really emotional. And she did say she's thrilled for women's college basketball, that they've raised the profile of the sport yet again. But once she started talking about what this year has been like, and remember, she was gone for 4 games. We don't really know what the reason was for that. Lots of speculation. The the issue at the end of the SEC regular season. Remember, she was the only one of the LSU players that walked the other direction when there was kind of a shoving match at center court, and one of the it was a South Carolina brothers player jump, or South Carolina player's brother jumped over the scores table, and it got a lot of negative attention. Not to mention, of course, this recent LA Times article that came out, which the author has since apologized for profusely on social media. And he said no one told him to apologize. He apologized on his own. But yeah, you could feel just all of that emotion coming out of her and how much she was spent. Like, she really left it all out there on the court. But Kim Mulkey, proud of her Tigers.
I've been doing this almost 40 years. That doesn't count as a player. We've changed, people. We've changed. And we've changed in so many good ways. And these young people will have a memory of being a part of something that was this great tonight. Many of them being a part of winning a championship last year. I can't describe to you how good it is right now in women's basketball.
Ooh, I love that from Kim Mulkey. I cannot describe to you how good it is in women's basketball right now. Lisa Bluter said something similar to us when she joined us here on After Hours following the selection shows. And we'll hear from her and Caitlin Clark coming up next. But yeah, phenomenal display of competition and strategy and skill making. And of course, the shots and the athleticism and the tug of war. It was awesome. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.